Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed. I am Joseph Scrimshaw.
And I am Quill. I can have
And we are here to speak. To speak to you about The Mandalorian. This is The Mandalorian Report, and we are going to dive in to Chapter 7, The Reckoning.
The Reckoning.
The Reckoning of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Oh, oh,
that's not quite the name of the song, but it could be.
Do not get me started. One of my favorite songs when I was 13.
You sat in your
Imagine
room and just
lives
like
down on
rocked
the chip
out to the tragedy.
Down. Yeah.
Oh, man.
I know a lot about that wreck in real life, too. I've studied it. Gordon Lightfoot, everybody. Welcome
Gordon
to the show.
Gordon Lightfoot. It's a fascinating tragedy, if you're into that kind of thing.
Into cargo ship tragedy.
Anyway, we're not here to talk about the big ship sinking in Duluth. We are talking about The Mandalorian, The Reckoning. We've been starting with the titles.
Yeah.
Because I'm fascinated how they go back and forth being like, the child, yep.
What's the sin?
How did you feel about The Reckoning?
I in my mind, I was like, yeah, we go through this every week. And last week, I was like, The Prisoner, it's so deep. It means I think this has some deep meaning, but I also was just like, yeah, no, this is very Western. It's a reckoning coming.
Yep.
It is Wyatt Earp said, you tell him I'm coming and hell's coming with me. I guess like, yeah. I took it as that.
Yeah. I
there's some depth. But
Greef Karga doesn't actually have this line, but he certainly could. I had the vibe of like, you can't outrun this, Mando. I mean, he has a similar line, but it has that vibe. But I do think, at the risk of overanalyzing the title, I do think it kind of ties into the idea that everyone has things to reckon with. We'll get into this, but like everybody has the like, hey, I'm good where I am. What? The Empire? And like There's also like everybody wants Mando to reckon with, like, what is your deal with droids, dude?
Yeah.
Like, there's a real pressure on that. So I think it has the literal, like, I've been running with this child. I can't run forever. I have to reckon with this.
Yep.
But I feel like it does have some other just kind of emotional impact.
100%. I right there with you, because I think this episode could also be titled The Reprogramming.
Right. The question of essential nature.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, that to me is the big theme. So we'll dive into that. But first, I just want to pull back then and get an overall reaction. Where does this one kind of fit for you in your tastes of chapters of Mandalorian? What's your big picture reaction?
I'll use that phrase. This is my favorite one. Though I'll say this, The Child, episode two, still might be my favorite one. Again, if you're ranking, fine, rank away. But it's how they hit me. And the second one is still like, oh, wow, I'm in a mystical land.
Yeah.
And my heart is open to something I wasn't expecting. This one, I was like, okay, this is a little bit of the promise of the show in the literal ads on Disney Plus.
Right.
And we're getting it, and it looked great. It was directed great, and all the pieces came together, acted great. Come back to that when it comes to Gina Carano. Just in short, really, really leaned into it this week. So, yeah, I really enjoyed this.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it from a couple different perspectives. I feel like this is the, you know, penultimate episode, so it is giving us this picture of what is the shape of this season. Mm-hmm. And now it is feeling very purposeful that we did take the time to meet all these other characters in the middle, and that we took time for Mando to try to run away.
Yes.
I feel like that's my solution. Leave. And now he's going to have to deal with that. Gives a little bit more shape. I think when people rewatch this season, it won't feel like, why am I watching this episode of the week, which we've been debating about
whether
they'll bring it home. So it feels like this structure had a purpose.
Three episodes of the National Star Wars Conversation about what kind of show is this now? Yeah, the word filler, I think, as always, I hate using that word because you just have to have patience to see where it's all going. And we learned a lot. The last weeks particularly, he is free of his past and now gets to go forth and reckon.
Yeah. I think the other thing I liked about this one is that it had its, it felt like it's had its foot on the gas.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was obviously getting back to the main point, but also just lots of stuff actually happened in terms of like Star Wars being a little bit of an adventure serial. It was one narrative, but lots of very fun, very different scenes kind of one after the other, changing tone, but all adding up to the same thing.
Big action, a lot of tension, space dragons. Yep. Like it was
strange
all
strange animals. Yeah. Weird grizzled lava goats. And then my favorite of this is, you know, when the cast was announced, we got so excited here at Four Centers, fans of grizzled weirdos.
Yeah.
How many grizzled weirdos? And there's been a little fewer grizzled weirdos. And this was a grizzled weirdo bonanza. And my goodness, the amount of absolutely bizarre lines. I was like, I got to write down my favorite weird thing that Grief said. I got to write down my favorite weird thing that the client said. It's almost everything that they say. There's so, and then Queel. I mean,
Queel. Yeah.
There's so many great moments in lines that can only come from that kind of strange character actor in a space Western.
Yeah, because even Grief spoke, I won't say differently, but you got to hear him a lot of Grief this time versus just in a booth go, Mando. Now, you got to hear Carl Weathers really lean into how he spoke in a really different way and it hit more. And Nick Nolte doing the voice of Queel is... It's he's become my favorite character in the show, and I was glad to, you know, it was a tough episode. But
okay, spoilers, by the way.
Yeah, spoilers. Spoilers.
Always, this is full spoilers.
Full spoilers. I know we're really gonna get to it, but you mentioned it, and I thought of you when this line. I was like, and I wrote it down too, and I was like, this is. I think Joseph needs this on the wall. Can I offer you a libation to celebrate the closing of our shared narrative? Maybe the greatest line in Star Wars, the greatest delivery ever.
I have it written down as my favorite line.
It's amazing.
Yeah, you know, I'll just spoil the end of the podcast. That's the weird question that I want us to ask.
Sorry.
No, there's no, it's not you. It's not you. It's exactly true. They say so many weird things, and that one just shone so bright.
It was amazing. I mean, Werner Herzog, Werner Herzog. The way it just, it takes a long time to come. Can I offer you libation to celebrate the closing of our shared narrative? I'm like, what?
It is, yeah, it's strange that it's the second to last episode and these characters are coming into focus a little bit more, but the client is almost like this weird take on Dracula. Like, Dracula's the classic gentleman monster.
Yeah.
who you know is a bad, monstrous,
right,
unnatural being, but is always like, would you like a little of this? Would you like a little of that? I wear a cape. I'm a gentleman. And that line had that whole, like, very weird, and almost like James Bond villain, too.
Yeah.
Like, before I kill you, Mr. Bond, would you like a cocktail to celebrate our shared narrative?
Best.
But it also actually does support that idea of the reckoning of our story together is coming to an end.
Yeah.
Which is actually a weird thing that a person at the Apple Store said to me once when they finished working on my phone. Yeah. And I was like, hey, does the Apple Store help me load my actual old phone info on my new phone? And the little bearded punk working at the Apple Store said, our journey together has come to an end. It's like, didn't even offer me a drink like the client. Oh my God, one of my very favorite lines. Let's jump into some of the favorite things. Big picture, and then also small things like that. Best line ever.
Mm.
So for you, what are kind of big picture scenes or ideas even that spoke to you the most?
I'll go this place first, and we dive into themes, and it'll probably come up there again. But I was strangely mesmerized by this sequence the first time I watched it, and then watched it again. It was like, yeah, this is the heart of the show, of this episode. It's Quill explaining in detail the IG-11 reprogramming. And the first time I watched it, I'm like, why is he? Oh, no, we killed that lizard. Oh, and then you're like, he is literally saying the words of the episode, going back to what we think. I had it written down here.
Neutral reflections of those who imprint them.
Yeah.
And then the reinforcing with patience and affirmation.
That one, in the big line, reconstruction was quite difficult, but not impossible. It had to learn everything from scratch. This is something that cannot be taught with a twist of a spanner. Goes on to what you said, the development takes patience and affirmation. I'm like, this has been the show so far.
Yeah.
It's the heart of the show.
Yeah.
Loved it. It was poetry to me. And that's why I really tie it back just as much as all the action and stormtroopers and the very clean 501st members showing up on set. It's back to episode 2, which I thought was a poem, you know?
Yeah.
So I love that sequence.
I totally agree, because this is something that I threw out there as a prediction really early on of like, well, how are they going to bring IG-11 back in? Quill seems like the kind of guy who'd go and grab him and say, this droid is, you know, perfectly good. I can fix him up. So when that answer was coming, it's like, oh, cool, that's great. And we were getting kind of what we wanted in the big picture of like, Mando has to put a crew together, so he goes back to some of these people that he's met. So it was this enjoyable sequence for me of, oh, good, this feels right. This is making sense. This is kind of where I thought and wanted it to go. And then to be delightfully surprised that it wasn't Quill just saying, I put a new brain in him. But instead it is this montage and this humanization of a droid, and that Star Wars theme of everyone deserves respect.
Right.
And tying the droid in Quill's relationship to the droid to Mando's relationship with the child. And this montage to me, I think I didn't even fully process it the way you did, which is such a great idea that is a theme statement of we can all rebuild ourselves and retrain ourselves, but it takes time. But it really affected me of Quill basically going, Mando, would you like to know how to be a parent?
Yeah.
Because it was so human and baby-like that, like, oh, its neural network is trashed, which means it doesn't remember how to walk or how much pressure to use on a cup, to kind of relate it back to really human things of like, we have to, like somebody who's been through a horrific accident.
Yes.
And needs to relearn their actual body. it was deep, and it connected back to my other favorite moment is the both funny and horrific Baby Yoda choke.
Yes.
Which reflects like, oh, well, what has this child been seeing in those big eyes? That's the instinct that you're imprinting on it.
Right.
In your attempt to be a good parent. And I think Quill doesn't even necessarily know at that point that that's what he is lecturing Mando about. But that's ultimately what he's lecturing him about. It's like, I've treated this droid with kindness, so in affirmation.
Yeah.
So that's how it will treat the galaxy. And if you do nothing but kill in front of your child, Don't be surprised when your child starts killing.
There was something at the beginning of the sequence when the flashback started, too, that, you know, yes, we love to dig deep on Force Center, and I wrote it down because I thought it was interesting, and I'm not necessarily saying this was a big statement, but Quill starts the whole thing of when he goes back, because it was left behind in the wake of your destruction, which was very specific to me. Of just like, it wasn't like, hey, the fight you did to win us peace, you know, it wasn't like, not that he's taken, not thankful, obviously he is, but just like, your destruction. This is what you did.
Yeah.
And this is what was left out of your destruction, and it can arise from that. I, again, a smaller piece of a bigger sequence to me, but that's why just that whole sequence wins. Yeah.
Yeah. And in terms of just like the direction and comedy, like obviously we both felt depth, but it's so awful and funny when IG-11 just drops the crate on the little lizard. And then if you watch Quill, he points at it and shakes his head like, don't kill lizards. And then the later shot where he shoos it away with his big robot foot.
Yeah. So I know Taika Waititi wasn't inside the droid CGI, but I love that. Very sweet humor in that moment.
His spirit of physical comedy certainly was. Yeah. And all building up to the big T. So I wanted to ask you about my other favorite thing, which is the Baby Yoda choke.
Yeah, I like what you're saying, because I didn't immediately tie it back to the droid and the imprint and what you imprint. They're neutral. I mean, that's part of I'm not a parent, but fathers raise your sons to be better type of idea.
Yeah,
bigger themes in life. That's that moment is that too, and to connect it to that, I think. You're opening up some train of thought in my brain. That's why it's barfing out a little weird right now. other than just the fun of the moment, but just, and also the connection and the clear connection that we've seen almost from the beginning where Baby Yoda is like, this masked one is protecting me.
Yeah. So I will there's a lot him. There. Yeah. Yeah. And there. I just think the range of acting that they're getting out of Baby Yoda's little puppet hand.
It's amazing.
So great. And seeing it's a great, twist, literally a twist of his puppet hand, but a great emotional twist of you think it's going to be this kind of fun learning moment of, oh, Baby Yoda thinks that they're actually fighting, so he's going to reach out and push her arm down. Ha 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 ha. And then that actual shot of him doing the kind of classic dark side twist without any knowledge of what that is.
Yeah. Right?
Just totally innocent. That's not, we talk a lot about in Star Wars about choice.
Yeah,
that's not him going, I could choose the light or choose the dark. I choose the dark. It's
what
he has been seeing of violence is safety.
It's so funny you mentioned it because, it was a dark side move if you're playing video games. And I had that reaction of not that, oh, he's like, just say going to the dark side. Or for a second, I was like, was he raised by the dark side? And before this, who had him before? You know, was it there? Or is it just what you just said? Just like, hey, again, nature. This is, you don't know. This is, you're going to go with how you were programmed. So a lot there in that little moment.
Yeah, about the imprinting. I could list just favorite little lines I like forever. But one that I wanted to shout out is, because I thought it was really funny and well-delivered, was when the Zabrak that Cara Dune defeated had to come in. Clearly bet on himself and lost and put the money down. She said, come back soon. She's like, I love just kind of the light sarcasm. It's a great, just kind of funny, tough person line. Mm. And also just the implication that he would actually come back fighter again.
Fighter again.
And have to end up giving her money.
Yeah.
She won again.
Yeah. Love that moment. Love the moment later on when we're going to talk about, I'm sure, about the Baby Yoda's healing power, but Grief yelling, it's trying to eat me.
Yes.
Because he says earlier, oh, it's a carnivore. Grief says that earlier.
Oh, yeah.
It's trying to connect back. It's great. And then going into town, I thought it was a great choice to have those two biker scouts leaning on their speeder bikes, like bored traffic cops.
Yeah.
Just like waiting around.
Yeah. I thought of you when I watched that one, because you brought up a lot. I love it too, but you brought it up a lot. The stormtrooper in Rogue One on the transport.
Yes.
Got that crappy job on Mobani and is dirty and just depressed. And it's like, Ken's going to love the Biker Scouts with the lazy body language.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it was great.
So, like, it's such great storytelling because it does paint this picture of, like, we're the vestiges of the empire that used to be like a stand up straight. You're in a military. What if anybody sees you?
Yeah.
And now they're thugs.
Absolutely. I keep calling them the dirty empire.
Yeah, the dirty empire. The sleazy empire. Yeah,
which, later on Clean Ones show up and making a joke because I think there's a Five for First members in it, and they're very clean, but it would make sense that they were.
Paul's grandfather, right?
Paul's grandfather.
I loved Grief in general. He had a bunch of funny lines, he's trying to eat me, so this is how it happens. That was actually the moment that really did clarify it for me, because throughout the episode, he's like, okay, well, at the beginning, he's being a Rick O'Lee level exposition machine, right?
Yeah.
He's got kind of some weird turns of phrase. Like,
really does.
The town is now under despotic rule.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Cara Dune who calls him out for, like, you're so dramatic.
Yeah.
And he's like, it feels like he is a real tough guy who is also a frustrated theater thespian.
Yeah,
He has these a bunch of different kind of little rhetorical flourishes.
Yeah, especially that the opening, you're at the Rick O'Lee transmission all through it. and it's Carl Weathers, 7-4, but it came off slightly different to me than the earlier scenes we've seen him in, and I don't mean that in a bad way. Just like, all right, he's leaning into it as the character is, not Carl Weathers. Just this is on purpose. So I like that a lot. And you know, again, he was someone who he goes through some deprogramming or reprogramming in his episode. So
yeah. But I love some of his dramatic lines. I wait your arrival with optimism. And as there's you can see, I'm alive too. So I guess we're even. Like.
There's a lot of great things we need to work into regular conversation. I'm on the way. I wait your arrival with optimism.
For a man of honor should not be forced to live in exile, says Grief Karga. Any other faves for you?
As far as, there's some stuff in the themes. Just a good, very good action sequence. Tugged on my heart. I do love creatures, and so to see some blurgs go down was hard. Hard for me, you know. I don't like no animals getting hurt. Even that lizard, I'm like, man. But the action sequence, the stuff at the end, reminded me. You know, the show is it a samurai, a western, a video game? The end sequence. I finally get to say this. Reminded me very much of the final stand in Young Guns.
Oh.
And a bunch of people working together, a team that shouldn't be inside a building surrounded by enemies with guns at them. I'm like, oh, we got some Young Guns action. This is great.
That is great. I want to talk about it here to make sure that we talk about it, because it's a thing that we saw, I think, in some trailers somewhere. The client's speech.
Right.
He says a bunch of juicy, weird things, but his speech about how things were better under the Empire.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of been a theme statement for the show of that idea that the New Republic hasn't got out here, so there is room for chaos.
Mm-hmm.
But how did you receive his speech? Did you think that there's any validity to it, or did you feel like this is propaganda from someone who wants control?
I think, I don't want to say like any good propaganda, but if you're crafting propaganda, you can always grab from something that could easily be viewed as true, right?
Right.
I call this, and we've mentioned this before, but it's the trains run on time speech for me, and we knew it was kind of coming. Delivered perfectly, and he needs to deliver that. Because I go to the character of Rae Sloane, who is very much in the Empire and starts the First Order, and she is a wonderful character that's very inspirational, and it's like, wow, she's a bad guy, so to speak, right?
Yeah.
The classic sense, she's on the bad team. But really, when you go find where she came from, a city racked by crime, and she's going to have a point of view that starts, and where you take that point of view is your choice in life. So I thought this is a speech I was waiting for.
Yeah.
Because, again, in the trailers, since the revolution, not the rebellion, not the resistance, the revolution, I thought it was great, really putting it down. So But going back to what we were talking about last week, how the New Republic does have some control and they are feared. So stuff's going on. This is 5 years in. So Mothma and Leia and everyone are we know they're working. So I think it is a little bit of perception out there and just speaks to the troubles of trying to set up this new government. And there's going to be some fringe things that you got to work with and got to work to improve. And so he's finding the truth in all of that.
Yeah.
And blowing it up.
Yeah.
You know, again, like any good propaganda.
Yeah. I feel like it was good propaganda, but it really affected me because I felt like yep, it's propaganda, which in this case for me was lies or from a manipulated point of view of like, yeah, of course, employment and trade and all these other things you listed were better from your point of view as one of the people who had money and power. Sure, it's not better for the Wookiees that you had in chains, you know?
I always say moments like these, this is we kind of knew this was coming to the show, but again, because this speech was in the trailers. If you want to know why Joseph and I and a lot of folks out there love Solo, this is, I want to insert parts of Solo into this scene like a flashback.
Right.
While he's talking YouTube about, yes, there you go. Like, oh, trade and everything. Yes, just what you said. Enslavement of the Wookiees, enslavement of the galaxy, but also destruction of industry. You and I talked during the Solo days of his father didn't necessarily just run off like a scoundrel. He was an alcoholic. He got his job, his industry got destroyed. The family unit got destroyed. That is what the Empire's doing.
Yeah, the Empire comes into a formerly successful industrial planet who made good products and took good pride in it and paid people decently. And the Empire said, well, we're just going to take that over and we're going to not pay you anything.
Yeah.
Works great for the client. Well, he's busy having drinks over shared narratives. Didn't work out well for the scrum rats on Corellia.
Yes, and I get excited. Canon effects and revelations. That's a lot there.
Yeah, yeah. We will dig into that. But while we're here, I just want to share this other favorite line. How quickly he switches from the end of his propaganda speech to the next line. So Werner Herzog is saying in absolute rapid succession, I see nothing but death and chaos. I would like to see the baby. There's not even a breath in there, I think. Maybe half a breath.
Which leads to one of the best exchanges. It's asleep. We will all be quiet.
Yes. I love that he has to tell Moff Gideon, currently, it is sleeping. Do you have my prize? Currently, it is sleeping. Oh, my God.
Just great.
So beautiful. Great. All right. Let's move on to some of the canon effects and revelations. Let's start with the Mandalore confirmation since that's
absolutely.
I guess we've had a slow, constant confirmation, but I felt like this was the most clear of, yep, you would not back down, so the Empire had to put you down.
It's great. I mean, not great it'll happen to Mandalore, but building on what we saw in Rebels, right? So we pick it up, Bo-Katan's come here, she got the sword, she got the Darksaber, Empire, that ain't good.
Nope.
Let's go get them.
Yep.
And for them to resist and bad things happen, I mean, that's what we thought, that's what we expected, but to get a little more of that confirmation was again exciting in a long live Mandalore way
in a horrible way, and it also just had that great twist of the knife of this situation is very much like what happened to Mandalore. Is there's no need for it. If you would just shut up and do whatever I tell you to do, there'd be no need for any disagreement. If you had no free will, everything would be swell. I am anxious for it's been elegant the way they've doled it out, but I would like it just what happened.
A
flashback, even a line referencing it, you know, because it's a very intriguing part of the story of Imperial power to me.
Yeah.
And this is what Palpatine was building the Death Star, right?
Because
he wanted to just point a giant gun at anybody who disagreed and say, you could just not exist would be the other option.
Yeah.
So clearly he did that to Mandalore at some point in some way, but if not with the Death Star,
what
happened? It's really, I like really intriguing to me. I'm excited about it. Mm-hmm. The arrival of Moff Gideon and his Death Troopers.
Yeah.
So my big question, it was cool to see them. We'd seen them in the trailer.
Yeah.
Very happy to see them. In canon books, a lot has been made out of Death Troopers are not just other people in even right. cooler armor.
Right.
That they are super trained. There's all that stuff in Thrawn Treason, Thrawn right?
Lot, yeah.
About even without all of their armor and their special equipment, they are extra deadly. They are yeah. super double plus good stormtroopers.
What is the one in that? Waffle or something like that?
Yeah, like
pancake.
Pack and waffle? And, yes. Some like
tater tot, some like Scooby Doo, or
two Muppets sit in a balcony and make fun of the show. Statler Waldorf, the Death Troopers. Yeah. What did you. So I find myself wondering, like, are those true Death Troopers who have survived, who are badasses? With or without the armor and extra equipment?
Great thought. Great question, because I think so in my head, because to my joke about those stormtroopers are very clean, Moff Gideon still has carried on some flame. We know that most of the Empire is gone. We know the remnants are out in the unknown regions by this point. All that we know, and as canon expands, but the idea that the left behinds, the Terexes, who, you know, from the Poe comic and everything, still want to carry it on in their own way and have some sort of power. I think the idea that he used this as a, there's a vacuum of power. I'm going to put on a cape and rise up, and he could either train, or maybe if he was a regional governor, had access to some of these troopers. And I think it immediately, them there for me as a real deep fan, like you are and our listeners are, I was like, oh, he is someone to be reckoned with.
Yeah.
Because it is not just the dirty stormtroopers.
Right. It's not just the sad little losers. Mm-hmm. This is and it seemed like they were well organized, right?
Yes.
And efficient and tactical. Mm-hmm. And he's got an awesome ship. And
yeah.
The TIE fighter with the folding wings. So mm-hmm. cool.
It's like a T-top Camaro or something there.
One of the other canon things that I picked up on is this, the great tip of the iceberg Star Wars storytelling discussion of whether or not Baby Yoda is organic or somehow some, mm-hmm. they didn't use the word clones.
Strained case, I thought you said?
I thought he said strand cast.
Strand cast, oh yeah.
Taking like the idea of DNA strand and he was like cast from the DNA.
I did not write that part down, you are right.
That's what I got, strand cast.
No, you're right.
And then Queel. Mm-hmm. Among all of his revelations about his backstory.
Yeah.
Said, no, I worked the gene farms, and I think this one's real.
Yeah.
What did you make of all that? Did you like hearing new terminology and a new level of awareness of kind of general cloning, growing organic being technology?
Yeah, I like that a lot. I like that he said this one's, it's evolved, it's slow, it's evolved, it's ugly. Did he describe it? I like that. I like that whole thing a lot. I like the revelation. You know, he's this indentured servant, kind way to say it, for the Empire, but he did earn his freedom at some point. So I just like this character a lot. I want more. I just want the Queel notebook, the journals of Queel is something I'd be interested in.
Listen to that very slow Nick Nolte audiobook.
Yeah, because
for sure.
How far does it go back? You know, how long has he had his freedom? I think it's been a while. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It might just have been the 5 years after the fall. Maybe.
He made such a big deal about earning his freedom with his hands.
Yes.
That sounds like an interesting story, because it's not just I escaped or the New Republic freed me.
Yeah.
He feels responsible that somehow his skill got him out of servitude.
I like that, because it wasn't, again, that's the idea of Endor happens, Battle Jakku happens, and then they're like, all right, I guess you're done. No, it seemed to happen before that, just what you said. So that's where I'll go with my head canon. So he could be all the way back. I don't necessarily think he's on Kamino, but...
Yeah, I mean, he talks about three lifetimes.
Yes.
That he's worked for three human lifetimes. So he could be
he could
be a lot of places.
Or even after, research for and after. You know, can we clone Luke? And Queel's got your answer.
Yeah. But I feel like since the... I'm really interested to hear this storytelling about what is kind of standard knowledge in the galaxy. If the, like, this is the headcanon I'm running with right now. Mm-hmm. If Kamino is like the premier, they've been doing it forever. They know their way around a clone,
right.
A clone program. So they're almost like Apple.
Mm.
But people in their basement could make a phone.
Yeah.
Right? It wouldn't be as complex or networked or corporate. So I like the idea of, like, are there individual departments of the Empire that was working on, like, well, we don't want to deal with Kaminoans, but we
want
to make...
We want ours.
So is the Empire, is that one of the programs that we heard rattled off by Jyn and Cassian?
Right.
In Rogue One when they're looking for the Death Star, the Stardust plans? Is that it? Or is there even like... You can almost like, I'm all over the place with my analogies, but almost like getting a forged driver's license.
Yeah, totally.
Can you go to a shady person who's like, yeah, I can grow you a servant, and it don't turn out.
Refurbished MacBook we're dealing with is what you're getting at. Yeah, yeah. Or a chapel computer bought at a swap meet.
So I'm interested in seeing how they expand that picture of cloning existing in the galaxy.
And I hope, going back to Dr. Pershing, I hope we get some answers. Maybe it's season two. I don't necessarily know if next week we're getting a total reveal, but possibly. But it'd be interesting, yeah.
I don't think we're going to get a ton of these answers with the amount that we have left.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we get to see Baby Yoda do some force healing.
Great stuff.
Yeah, yeah, which
he's trying to eat me.
It's a great payoff to the child.
Yeah.
Where he sees that the Mandalorian is cut and is reaching out.
Yeah.
And it's great to have that payoff. Mm-hmm. And it is great to have that contrast between this is probably his nature.
Yeah.
Of he just senses pain and it's like, can I help?
Yeah.
And what his nature is being changed by being around the constant violence.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful moment, exactly pays off because it's like back in the child, we're like, were we going to get that? Was he going to heal? Does that force power exist? Is something not something we're super familiar with in Star Wars? So loved how it played off. Well, I thought I have been somewhat critical of the look of the show in the past, particularly the last three episodes. This one was great. Also, I'll tell you what the DP job was shared by both Greg Fraser and Baz, the other guy.
Hmm.
And I think Greg Fraser just shoots it like Rogue One, because that's what he did. So I saw a lot of that
in this episode.
But that moment, really just, I bought into it. I was there for it. I just believe Baby Yoda's real. So yeah. I really like that sequence, just on a surface level.
Yeah.
Sweet, touching, funny.
Yeah. Yeah, and just plays into things so well.
Yeah.
And the nothing can go wrong. But successfully surprised me. Delightful to be so successfully surprised.
Those poor blurgs.
Any other kind of new ideas to canon or reframing them that you saw or wrote down?
I think you got them all. I'm trying to go down a little bit. I love the, and we're going to talk about it with some themes, but I love the constant referring to Cara Dune as a dropper.
Everybody knows who she is or what her role was.
And a little detail there. You know, I like that.
Awesome.
That kind of stuff.
Well, let's dive into the theme because this one is really permeating, I felt. And it sounds like we're on the same page. It's really a question about what defines our nature and can we change from what it is.
Yeah.
So what are some of the other ways that you saw that expressed? Did you feel like it was kind of expressed in every character?
It was expressed in every character. You talked about the opening scene with Cara Dune, not the fight, but the conversation of she's like, I'm done, so I don't want to play soldier. I don't want to fight warlords. What's the Empire? All right, I'm in. So that's her, I won't say her nature, but her, you know, a lot of her character of a soldier looking for a place. And said earlier was episode 4, like, I was escorting people around. I used to drop in and kill and get some real heavy action. So I like that, but I love the constant reference to her tattoo. Not the one on her face, but the one in the arms, which indicates dropper, what she did, she's known, and how that makes other people in this world feel like, oh, you're programmed for that side.
Yeah.
And she needed to hire that nature, too. So as she changes, too, and that character grows, and that's some stuff there. I thought it was a great reversal of that, too. If everyone's kind of afraid of what we think everyone else's programming is.
Yeah.
And I thought that was – I loved it. It just kept coming up and just – even in the cover, don't forget your tattoo. She doesn't acknowledge it, and Grief's like, I'll cover up your bars. Okay.
I expected Quill to throw in, and I have spoken on cover up your tattoos.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there was definitely that element to it, and I think kind of a sub-theme of – this was one of the best episodes that was about immediately post a war, no one can define themselves without it relating back to the war.
Yeah.
What happened to your people during the war? Who did you serve during the war? What is the state of the galaxy because of the war? I love that everything is about the war and everybody's identity is tied up in the war.
Well, the fact that Kara gets really, when Quill's like, unfortunately, I fought for the other side. What? Well, no, I not my choice. And but even after he explains the situation, she's still kind of that the, his her perception of his programming there is it won't leave her.
Yep.
It's even there. It's from all sides.
Yeah, yeah. And the other thing I liked about Kara, which we got a little bit more clarity, which I was really hoping for, of like, is Mando's like, yeah, but you just stopped working for the New Republic, but you're a veteran, right? Everybody,
right.
You must be able to. And she's like, I've been other things too.
Yeah.
And if I step foot on a New Republic world or ship, I'm in great trouble.
Right.
Which opens up this big can of worms that really relates back to Mando. Mm. And, you know, what we learned last week, that he really did some things he's probably not proud of.
Right.
Of it's one thing for Kara to be somebody who has a grudge against the Empire and needs action.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Doesn't know what to do with herself if she's just carting dignitaries around.
Right.
But then that question of like, well, what did you do that is so awful? Is it just that you were a mercenary and working outside the guild, or, you know, did she do something she really regrets?
Mm.
And is her motivation right now simply, I hate Imperials.
Yeah.
I double hate warlords.
Yeah.
That, you know, that's my speciality is taking out Imperial warlords. Or is it that she is also, you know, trying to clear some of the red from her ledger to steal Black Widow's line from Marvel?
Yeah. That's why I do really like this character, and really just to the point, I think Gina Carano really, this is what I wanted. I wanted her to grow into it. She is learning the craft of acting as she goes along. I at times think it's painfully obvious. It wasn't this in this week, a couple lines that, you know, she dropped a little bit, but you can see her in this character now.
Yeah.
Getting more of a chance to do it.
That fight at the beginning really solidified
She's
her
at home.
She was having some joy.
Yeah.
In the fight, and there's
both
almost
Kara
like
and
like
Gina
taunting, and it was great to actually let her use her skills. But man, great.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot to this character I would love to read about too.
I think that we have heard that allegedly she's going to be a big in season two.
Yeah, yeah.
The Baby Yoda thing was big to me. That idea of is he a killer or a healer?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that he's young and could be either.
TBD.
Yeah, who's going to imprint on him? And then IG-11, I think, not only unlocks that general idea from that great Quill speech and montage, but how much Mando can't let go of hating, of being afraid.
Yeah.
And just having that firm perspective of you can't change.
Right.
So if he has that firm of perspective of droids in general, IG-11 in specific, what does that mean for himself?
I do love the exchange when Quill's kind of getting into him on that, and he says, "So you haven't seen, you know, I forget the line, and I didn't write that one down, but just you haven't seen droids like I have, you know, you haven't seen it."
Yeah,
I like that. Yeah, it's just that it's more than just a funny joke, and more than just separatists fought my family or killed my family, and it is what you said. It's just like it's there. It is his perception of programming, and I love it.
Yeah, yeah.
I want him to grow past it, but I love it.
And then let's talk just a little bit about Quill's motivation, because I like that Mando's going around the galaxy. He's met a couple of people that he thinks are pretty trustworthy and honorable. Mm. He needs their help, and the only way he can get their help is like, but you could... for Gary, like, you could mess up an Imperial.
Yeah.
And Quill's motivation being, it's not out of anger. I don't want to get back at the Empire. Mm-hmm. But as long as the Empire is still taking people as slaves, which will do this child, I can't allow that. And that entire system needs to end or we're never free.
Mm-hmm.
How did you feel about that being his motivation?
I love it. I wrote down that, you know, he says, I will not take payment. I'm not doing this for payment, and that's what he's doing it for. Again, why I just love this character. He is truly an old West hero, an older old West hero teaching the new one. I love it. It makes a lot of sense, not only just for what he went through, but just for his vision of the future of the galaxy, the vision for his little neck of the woods. He just wanted peace, right? And peace isn't just always going to be shaking hands and walking away. Sometimes you have to make some big, painful changes, and that's one that he wants changed. And I think he could trust the New Republic to do it. But again, if he's out here in the outer rim, and the rules are a little wonky, and the rules aren't, you know, they're a little up for, you know, you can write your own rules out there in the wild. I love that that's still a motivating factor. He doesn't want that because look what Moff Gideon wants to do.
Yeah.
Quill knows this in a spiritual sense.
Yeah.
And goes back to what you tell you. That's why it's all Quill talking about programming and why that sequence with IG-11 is the heart of the show and maybe the series is look at this child going to your parenting thing.
Yeah.
It's like, this is so, no, I don't want this to happen. I don't want it to be enslaved and I don't want to be used because I don't think it's going to be used to build spaceships with that power.
No.
And he sees it and reacts to it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I should have put that in the canon that they had a little bit more discussion about it gets derailed immediately by him being involved in the Empire. But he says, your story about the Mudhorn makes more sense now.
Yeah.
I've heard about things like this in the Empire.
Yeah. Which, so with further stories, chapters, and moments, it's going to put some new context to things before. You and I had been wondering, talking, discussing, how much does Mandalorian know about Jedi, Force, where's he at? It's kind of steeped in the Mandalorian history because of what they fought and why they built their armor back in the day. more revelation that maybe he just does not know.
Yeah, and that he just described it, and he knows that he can do these things, but doesn't know exactly what it is or what a name to it is. Yeah.
Yeah. And still, a little canon thing. Still 5 years after the fall, with Luke out there doing things, running around with Lor San Tech or whatever, that there's still kind of this, like, I heard of space wizards.
Yeah.
I thought that was fun, interesting little wrinkle.
Yeah, yeah, it's a great one. I think Quill just really wanting to be a good example to Mando. I like, without putting kind of finger on the nose, he is a character of honor.
Yeah.
He is what Mando's trying to be. Because even in that line of, like, that he took what was left of IG-11, that he staked his claim.
Yes.
In accordance with the charter of the New Republic. So, like, you don't get the sense that he is living in this chaos and death that the client is talking about.
Yeah.
He is living like, I want to be out here alone in my peaceful valley. And while no one's even watching, I will follow the rules of the current government because I'm a man of honor and you do what is correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you work hard and you have patience.
You work with your heads.
Yeah. You work your hands.
But has a clear moral code that if, you know, the Empire took over and their new chapter included, you know, indentured servitude again, he'd fight against that.
Yeah, that would not be honorable.
Not be honorable.
Yes. Oh, so I think we are imprinting on Quill. And with that, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back for more Mandalorian.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story.
In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
And we are back to discuss more of our shared narrative that is The Mandalorian Chapter 7. This episode was directed by Deborah Chow. People really celebrated the other chapter that she directed. Yeah. This one also seemed like it was a triumph directorially. Mm-hmm. What were some of your favorite moments or shots or overall reactions to the directing?
I like a lot of the way they played out the final battle, the tension of it. She took her time, again, going to that Quill IG-11 sequence. And in Star Wars films and films in general, you got to move a little faster, right? And this was a great example of, I love that we're going to get this storytelling as well. We have got an animated form. And then I thought she just took that script and said, here is my core, and I'm gonna take my time with this.
Yeah.
And I really just celebrate that moment there. Overall, just, again, shot very well. Her and her DPs worked well together, clearly. I just thought there was a great pacing to this episode that I felt was sometimes missing from the last three episodes. Great stuff in them. Last one, great too. Fiyama absolutely knows what he's doing. They all know what they're doing, but you know what I mean. I thought, so this is the biggest episode yet.
Yeah.
In terms of just so much going on, and she just took her time with all of it.
Yeah, I think it's such a great blend of action and comedy, and it all worked together really well. Like, I loved the way everything was set up and shot, so I could be really surprised by the creatures swooping in and eating off of Grief's arm and stealing the grizzled lava goat that they ate. The action for me, I really like clarity in action, so you can kind of see what's going on in the fight that Kara had was great, really well directed and choreographed and all that. There are a couple shots that just really resonated with me, and there've been similar ones in The Mandalorian, but really brought the story home. Like that one line that you were talking about in the montage that we both liked about Quill saying, you know, I went, you know, to your place of devastation.
Yeah.
Paraphrasing.
Yeah.
But the fact that that shot is, you can see some of the, you know, fires and carcasses at the bottom of the shot, and then he's way up there in silhouette looking down on it. Like, I'm really coming from a place of, it reminds you of what it would feel like yourself to just kind of come up over the ridge and look down and go, damn, there's nothing but carnage here.
Yeah.
Look at all those corpses and just the record of violence here.
And the idea of, like, him not scavenging around, I'm sure he's picking up a part or two, but him just like, I need to go down and see it. You know, what part of his honor compelled him to go do that?
Yeah, yeah. Was he looking for scrap, or was he just like, I need to process what happened here? It's also just a really beautiful horizon shot of Baby Yoda and Mando and Kara entering Quill's. It's just a nice, you know, the sunset and everything.
Everything with Quill's.
Yeah, everything was
hut,
great.
House.
And then there was one other shot that I really appreciated, which was when, at the end, when Quill agrees to take Baby Yoda back to the ship.
Yeah.
And turn on the ground safety protocols, whatever those are. There's that shot of him in the foreground, him and Baby Yoda in the foreground, kind of blurry. with yes. the other characters, mm-hmm. three characters walking away, and it has it gave you that sense of tension and fate of like, will they right. come together again?
Yeah, which
sets up this sense of dread
right.
for something bad is going to happen to one of the. Or the other of these groups.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as far as like the self defense mode, whatever, I'd immediately like Batman 89 Batmobile kind of.
Yeah, like,
and I'm like, I want to see this now.
Yeah, is this James Bond's car and Tomorrow Never Dies in particular yeah. when they're trying to break in? All right, so let's move on to some action figure inspired moments. This yeah. is. The one I was waiting for that I hoped they were going to do that I thought maybe when John Favreau was like, hey, you like toys, keep watching.
Yeah.
There was a straight up Kenner toy on screen.
Yeah.
It is the 1979 Imperial Troop Transporter.
Love
is
that.
What delivered all those clean stormtroopers.
Yeah. And obviously Filoni dumped that into Rebels, but to see it in action, live action, so fun. I want the mini rigs to show up at some point.
Yeah. But just like that weird little design of like, and then you can put your stormtroopers on in here side. And then there'll be little leg doors that'll open up and they can walk out. Like
so
just
good
to see that actually
fully happen. Realized
and be scary.
Yes.
Right. Because it is like, right. Oh, here we're all badasses, judge. But we are outnumbered.
Yeah.
Outnumbered.
Yeah. One of my favorite action figure moments was just seeing Cardoon in action with that rifle. Blasting those space dragons.
Oh, yeah.
Real, like, we've seen Gina Carano now at home with her fighting skills, but to see now the character at home with her, and yes, she, again, episode 4 had the big fight, but that was, to me, just, like, really well shot, really just the sound of the gun, everything about it. Loved
yeah,
it.
Yeah, this, yeah. The big, heavy rifle, that was awesome. Yeah, I think a two-pack of Cara Dune tied to Zabrak Bruiser
yes.
with energy cord. I'd buy that.
Yeah.
We've seen it before, but there were so many great shots of Queel on the Blurg and just the Ugnaught on a Blurg with a baby Yoda. I definitely want to buy that.
If you go take that picture and take it maybe 2 years ago when you first started hearing rumors of the show, being like, an Ugnaught, oh, on a Blurg in real life with a baby Yoda. Yep. A what now?
This is the gritty, realistic Star Wars you've been waiting for. Ugnaught on a Blurg with a baby Yoda. And then the new TIE fighter. That was really cool. Like sometimes for me, like the, oh, we need a new trooper. We need a new TIE fighter can sometimes get to be like, all right.
Sure.
This one was cool. And it added to the sort of sense of, ooh, we were afraid of the client. He's a low-level chump compared to this guy who's showing up.
And gone. I'm sure maybe in a novel or a comic book or something, you know, or a tabletop game this has existed, but to see it, again, like the troop transport, to see it in real life, to see it in live action, see it play out, and have this guy come out with this cape. He's got armor, he's got this, and it's just like, he's like, I need to have the coolest TIE fighter.
Yeah.
What do I got?
I need an elevator, too, to get out. I'm not going to scramble.
Everything. It was just an elegant introduction of this bad character, this bad guy.
Yeah, and I could definitely see this TIE fighter with exclusive Moff Gideon action figure, and you can rise him up from that.
Giancarlo Esposito, finally in a Star Wars toy.
Finally, which is a great segue to one of our favorite segments, Best Grizzled Weirdo Moments. How long was this episode? 35 minutes?
Yeah, we already...
35 minutes.
We've already an hour on Grizzled Weirdos. It was a, you said, bonanza. It is a showcase of Grizzled Weirdo Moments.
Yeah. So this is how it happens. That straight transition from chaos and death. I want to see the baby.
Just everything with winter. So everything. Quill, because if you go back, just almost every word he says, almost, you know, hey, this is a comlink, doesn't count, but almost every word and sentence he has such great meaning. And they use this character so well to cast, you know, when Nick Nolte got cast, the voice casting, we were, you know, is he a bartender? Is he this? Yeah. Is he that? And I think this ended up being better than I could even have expected. So he is just my Grizzled Weirdo All-Star of the Week.
All right. So this is probably the saddest Grizzled Weirdo moment, but let's dive in. Is our beloved Queel dead? Has he spoken?
I think he hath spoken his final words. Really good reveal on it, too. Got Grace and I, the first time, we're just like, oh, no.
Yeah, just see, first see Baby Yoda on the ground, knowing.
Because we're all protective of Baby Yoda, so we're just like, what did he do? He drop it? Get so close. I wanted IG-11 to come out and be like, my program also includes killing you. I was, there we go.
Yeah.
But that was really sad. And part of the, you know, the cost of victory or cost of the journey, all those kind of things I can get behind in a story. But just, I really love the character. So happy to have him back. Happy that I got the moments that I got with him.
Yeah.
If this is it.
And this was such a great... I'm not going to assume that he's dead. He looks very dead. His back is smoking. It seemed as though his Ugnite eyes were open and glassy.
Right.
But I feel like they have done a little bit of the Star Wars cliffhanger, and the next episode doesn't pick up exactly the way you might think. So I'm going to hold out a tiny bit of hope, but it does feel like, because he imparted such wisdom, that Quill has spoken.
It's a new version of the mentor of a story, the Obi-Wan of the series, whatever you want to do. I'll take 2% hope and put it on a shelf. The next week begins with two sets of feet, Ming-Na Wen's and Captain, Laser Brain shows up, the new character, and they wake him up.
Yeah. Captain Laser Brain, played by a famous comedian of some kind.
Yes.
Who knows?
Did you play the Largo in the early 2000s?
Oh, you're in John Star Wars. Mulaney. John Mulaney's in Star Wars now. Cool. I think it's sad. So let's talk about some actual predictions for next week as we begin to wrap up. Is there going to be, there is for Stranger Things, there is a hashtag justice for Barb.
Right.
Is it going to be justice for Queel? Mm-hmm. Do you think those biker scouts, those lazy biker scouts are going to get back to Moff Gideon with Baby Yoda? Or is IG-11 was teased of like, he's been programmed and conditioned now to be kind and gentle and helpful, but he will protect. Is he going to come off the ship and wreak havoc?
I wish that was the case. I think they're going to play with our emotions to the point where you think Moff Gideon is going to gets this kid and almost leaves. If not, we go into season two. Who shot JR? Who shot Mr. Burns? And do a whole year of what's going to happen to Baby Yoda?
A cliffhanger.
Yes.
You think there's a possibility of season one ends on a cliffhanger?
I think, and not a great one, not a happy one. Moff Gideon gets away with the kid, or Dr. Pershing shows back and then you put a syringe in him. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think because that might come out of the desire to see this particular story go on, that I don't want season two to change dramatically. I still want it to be Mando and a quest and his personal growth, which it will be, but so I don't want, I don't want this to end with, we got the baby. Great. And we're going to put him off on a farm. He's going to grow up. We'll check in with you in 10 years. Like, no, I want it to keep going.
Yeah.
And then next year we get, toddler Yoda.
Yeah, I mean, that's a hell of a thought.
Preteen Yoda.
Yeah, I still think that they tick over a year, and when he turns 51, he'll just be like, hello, how are you? I do think for next week that IG-11 is going to kick ass. I think it might be they think they're done for, right?
Yeah.
And then IG-11 last minute. And I think that could be some interesting character things to have Baby Yoda and maybe even Mando himself truly rescued by a droid.
I didn't even think about that
for him. Right?
Oh, big one. See, kids, when you study the themes, it leads you down paths. Doesn't mean we're always right. It just leads you down paths. And that'd be,
I feel like we're going to deal with his droid hate. I feel like in some ways this episode made me feel like the final episode of this season is just going to be Mando gets some actual therapy for his droid PTSD, because it was so brought up.
Constantly.
It seems like he is only really able to fully access the thoughts or show them to us, the audience, in this specific scenario around the armor.
Right.
And around the actual armor and his reasons for wearing it. And I just feel like they set it up so much that we're going to get some little payoff of seeing the full picture of that flashback or of him having to come to terms with it in some way.
Yeah.
But I could see them being like, it's a standoff and he opens up a little bit to Cara Dune. About his droid issues.
Yeah, I like that idea. Yeah, I think we'll get a big shootout, get all the big action sequences we want, but what does it all mean? And I think there'd be great purpose in that.
Yeah. Fennec Shand, will be back, because everybody else, as we thought, is wrapping back in.
Yep.
So I think Fennec Shand will be back. Do you think the mystery of the boots of who is standing over Fennec Shand will be addressed?
It better. I don't mean that in like, give it to me. I mean, that would be the weirdest. It would just be the weirdest dangling participle in the world, man. Just right. Like, what?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I think for a season to feel complete, it does have to feel like something got resolved.
Yeah.
And then you can have the, and what's next?
And what's next? Yeah, absolutely. Look at all the great seasons of TV. Yeah.
Yeah.
And even this, as episodic as it got at times, there's clearly been this overarching story. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Final thing I wanted to talk about in predictions is Moff Gideon.
Yeah.
So he, I'm seeing if I wrote it down exactly what he said about the needing. You may think you know what you're in possession of, but you do not. It means more to me than you will ever know.
That's exactly it.
So my take on that was that it's about the healing, and that's part of the reason that that was teased and confirmed.
Gotcha.
That Baby Yoda has this ability. And I wonder if Moff Gideon himself is sick and thinks he can somehow take something of this baby, or if it is going to tie into any larger story of keeping various Imperials alive. Is there, you know, is it going to play into Moff Gideon? The theme of protecting children, does Moff Gideon have some ill-loved one that he thinks he can cut Baby Yoda open and put its blood in his child and it will live kind of thing.
We're
going somewhere in it, and it makes the most sense to me, not just like, he's got force powers. So like,
I don't want to say like a path to immortality, but just like it is a nuclear weapon, so to speak, that he wants. But can he harness the power? Can he teach this? Can he make this a warrior? I don't think it's about that. When you got Pershing, you got the clonings, you get the this and this, the gut conversation. So, yeah, there's something driving him. Yeah, I think the idea of it's a child, a sick child.
This utterly creepy vision of is the thought we can clone a bunch of them and then they can just be like hooked up to anybody who wants to live forever, allegedly being healed. You know, it's some creepy, weird stuff. But the more I think about it, I think there's got to be, the way he says it means more to me than you will ever know, feels less like a, you know, classic serial villain.
Right.
Mwahaha, and I shall take over the world. It feels more like, this means, what I need out of it means something to me on an emotional level, as well as I'm an Imperial and I want to subjugate the galaxy.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think he wants that, definitely. But I don't view him as, just what you said. I don't view him yet, we'll see, as they take over the galaxy. He just wants to get back to what things were and have his position secure. So there's something in that. And then the way again, you talk about it, this is a great casting, great performer coming in here and really just hitting out of the park with very few lines.
Oh God, yes.
It's a lot of choices he made in his face as a performer that make us go, okay, what is this about? This could just be that ruling the world, I'm Cobra Commander.
Yeah.
Or it could be something deeper.
Yeah.
And it's Star Wars. There's always something deeper.
Yeah. I kind of think, hope that, you know, we get that revelation. I hope that to give this season shape, that there is something where Mando does just take out Moff. Because he's been Moff Gideon, because he's been the big bad.
Right.
And then over. And leaving him going like, okay, well, what's next? Or maybe even, I defeated Moff, but someone else got away with Baby Yoda.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could be good.
Who knows? All right. We are going to wrap up, as we always do, with a weird, fun question inspired by this episode. We got to do it because it is such an amazing, amazing quote. Ken, is there a time you've wanted to have a drink to celebrate the closing of a shared narrative?
I mean, all the time.
Right?
We did it yesterday at the time of this recording. We've seen a motion picture people are excited for. And we had to go all just have a drink after big events or comedy shows.
Yeah.
Even though this is kind of people coming from opposite narratives to have this shared narrative. Just I keep thinking of when I'm on the road with Mark Ellis doing stand-up comedy after the show. Yeah, we'll hang out with the fans. We love that. We'll go to the bar, but we always need to get back to the hotel room and just have a drink and talk about our shared narrative coming to an end for that evening. So all the time. I love it. I love that idea. I'm going to seriously, we need like a needle point of this quote on Scrimshaw's wall, and I'll buy one after
Let's fire up Etsy, because I do want it. It's so funny, and it's so disingenuous from him, but it is so true in life. The immediate thing I went to is, yesterday after we saw a certain motion picture, several of us went out and had a drink, and then my wife and I was like, what should we do now? Like, let's have another drink at a different bar. And then when I think about it, I think, my wife and I don't have a drink every night, but many nights come home, talk about our day, and have a cocktail together. And we're closing out the shared narrative of our daily adventure.
I think maybe that's the title of the book I want you all to release. Shared libations.
Shared libations and shared narratives. Yep. Well, that is it for our beloved, most likely fallen Queel.
Yes.
We have spoken.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.